Okay, so Parak Yud Dalet Hilchos Gezeilah Ve'Avedim. Continuing halacha is about returning lost items. Halacha Aleph Hasimla. So when it comes to a dress, v'chlal kol avedas hafichos, so that's included among the items of, so to speak, all the items that are lost from your fellow Jew. Haisa. V'chein eshor v'sevach hamor. Right. So too, it includes these other types of animals. For instance, ox or sheep or donkey. V'lama part of kasuv hamor. So why does the Torah, what do you call it, specify, for instance, a donkey, lahak zero, bisimani mirdas, because you can return a donkey even if you're using a siman, like a sign that's related to, let's say, a saddle. So even though the saddle is secondary, so to speak, to the donkey itself, yachzer, you still have to return it. Lama prat shor v'seh. So what about these other two animals? Lahak zera afilu gizos or gaz zanav ashor. That should even have to return back, for instance, the shearing of the sheep, or let's say the hair that comes from the tail. Even though it's afishu davar mu'ad, even though it's something small. Lama prata simla, so why does the Torah include simla? Lilmo mimena, to learn from it, ma'asam v'yuchadeh sheisha simonim v'cheskasa sheish lo'atovin v'chayeh v'hafzir. So buy a dress, so we know it's unique, as it's normally speaking has various simonim on it, and therefore the owner of the dress will always want it back. Av kol davar sheisha simonim v'cheskasa sheish lo'atovin. Anything else that is a simon, we assume the person's going to want it back. V'chayeh v'hafzir. However, something that, what do you call it, something that's lost that we know the owners won't seek out, unless Yashim buy them, rather they give up hope of getting it back. Harayhu shel motzal, it belongs to the finder. Ach v'sheish bo simanim, even if it has signs on it. V'apobeid hazeh klal v'abeida. This is the general principle when it comes to lost items. Kol davar shein bo siman, anything that lacks a distinctive sign. Kemish avad v'yadu v'abaylim shavad. So once it gets lost, and we know the owners know that it's lost. Harayze v'cheshvash and Yashim men abaylav. We can automatically assume that the owners give up hope of getting it back. Go on masner echad, machat achas, or matveya echad. So, for instance, like a coin, or like a nail, or a needle. Sharing in the holy thing, simamach zero lahen. There's no mechanism for them to identify one, let's say, nail from another nail. The big offer here is shemotzah, so therefore it belongs to the finder. But any item that has a distinct mark on it, like a dress or an animal, raise it a chesed shon men of love. So we assume that the owners did not give up hope of getting it back. Because their intent is they're going to go ahead and provide signs to get it back, the actual land, and therefore it'll be returned to the Vika. So therefore, if you find this type of lost item, you must announce it. Unless you know for sure that the owners give up hope of getting it back. Because let's say you hear them saying in a conversation, like they say, oh, woe is me, I lost my wallet. Meaning they talk in a way where it's clear they're never going to get it, they're giving up hope of getting it back. So then the lost item belongs to the finder. So if you find a lost item that has on it a simon in the water or in the ocean or the river, or what a place where there's Muslim people and non-Jewish, so we assume that the owners gave up hope, from the time that it fell into, let's say, the ocean. Therefore, it belongs to the finder. Even though, technically speaking, you never heard the owner say they gave up hope of getting it back. Okay. So, what do you call it? Giving up hope of getting it back, right? Even though, what do you call it? Even though the guy doesn't know he lost it, even if it is something that doesn't have a simon, it's not considered giving up hope. So, what does this mean? Let's say a guy dropped a coin, lo, and he doesn't know that it fell. Afi kashi, even though we know when he finds out that it fell, he says he'll give up hope of getting it back. That's not considered giving up hope of getting it back. Ata, now, until the owners actually know it fell. But let's say the owners say, what do you call it? Maybe I gave it to this guy. Or maybe it is inside the cabinet, or maybe I made a mistake in my calculations. That's not considered giving up hope of getting back the item. Let's say I see my fellow Jew drop a coin into the ground, and he doesn't know about it. And I pick up the coin prior to the owner actually giving up hope of getting it back because they know about it. Over, I'll say, I violate a positive and two negative commandments. So I feel the right? And even if I return it after I commit the Isser, even if I return the coin back to him after he gives up hope, Zumotanahi is considered a gift. And it's too late. I violated these sins. Let's say I find this coin and I pick it up before the owner gives a hope getting it back, with the condition of actually returning to the guy. But then after he gives up hope, I change my intention now decides I'm going to keep it and rob him of it. Over mishum. So I'm violating the positive commandment of returning. Himten love lo yidila b'alim. Let's say he waits and does not let the owners know he has it. Lo nafal dinar, and he didn't take it up. Achi yidu b'alim shenafal, until the owners know that it fell. Sharein is yashuk moshiyano, and therefore they're giving up hope. V'achar nafal dinar arts, and then after knowing that they were going to give up hope, he then picks it up off the ground. Ain orah mishum losu kol islamic kolos was that he's actually technically not violating the prohibitions here. L'aches arah sela mafesh nafal avim shol shemani adam. So if a person sees a sella or a different kind of coin fall from even three people, even though what it called it's worth less than the minimum monetary amount to each person, he still has to return it. Shema shuts than him. Maybe they're partners in it. And in being partners, one of them, so to speak, gave up his portion for this other his friend. And then because he gave up, whereas let's say this thing is worth one and he split it up in thirds. Let's say the two partners sold or gave up their third to the other guy. That goes back to being the shavu'ruta. So let's say I saw what he called my fellow Jew, and a coin fell out from him that fell into the sand or to the dirt. And I turn away. Right. So, I mean, if the what he called if the owner turns away, that's like as if it fell into the ocean, right? And therefore, it belongs to the finder. Why? Because we can assume by him turning away and not seeking out whatever dropped, he gave up hope because there's no sign in it. If you're also a heavy kabra l'chapes afar v'das ruah a v'das ruah who m'chapes k'derek shemakasim afar right sh'ar habilshin. However, let's say he sees the owner come back and the guy brings like a sifter, right? He's surfing through the sand. What it called? We still say he's doing yesh. He's why? Because he's like fantasizing he's going to get this thing back. Because and it's like what people who search on the dust and they're not lost anything at all, and the hope maybe they'll find something else that was lost. So since he's what do you call it? And there's the way he's searching in like a manner where he's really not has any realistic hope of ever getting the item back. So we consider that he's already done yesh. Right? Let's say a person what do you call finds a sella in the market, matzo chavero, right? So what do you call it? If his friend finds it, Ramalone, he says to him, Shavit man hi, the Chadashahi, right? It is new. The Shema Medina Ponasi, and it's from this country. Vishamla Ponahi, and it's from this king. Afil Omar Shmi Pasavalea, even if he says, my name is on it, Lomar Klum, why is it nothing? Vinachavach, he doesn't have to return it. Shain Simani Matvea Simon, because the signs of a coin are not considered valid Simana, because the assumption is used for spending. Omrim Anu Shalo. Right, but let's say the best we could say it was his, but Haisa, we can say it was his, but nothing got out there, but he spent it and it fell from someone else's pocket. Though the ain't simanea simon shosokanala, and the signs on it are not the kinds of signs you rely on. The shasafilanisha, from the time the coin falls out of the guy's pocket, you give up hope of getting it back, and therefore, rehi shamotza, therefore, it belongs to the guy who found it. Let's say a person finds an article that doesn't a lost object that doesn't have a sign next to something that does have a sign. Now the guy who owns the item that has a siman on it comes and claims it. And he says only this one fell. Then the guy who found the item can keep the one without the siman, without the sign. Let's say a person finds a kli made out of earthenware, what do you call it, or any other type of what do you call it? Kli that's made in a normal way. If it's a new kli, Ariham Shalom belong to him. Shrahim Kamo Dinar Mishar Dinar. It's like a coin from other coins. Like imagine like a person finds just a glass cup. There's no sign in it. They in the Bible not here, no sign, and the owners won't recognize it. There's no way to identify this specific glass that I found is my glass or someone else's. But let's say they're old glasses. That let's say there's a way, like a certain familiarity you have about that specific glass, you have to announce it. The because if a Tamachachan comes along and says, even though I can't actually give a specific distinct mark on this item, but I can recognize it, right? So then the guy who found it must show him the glass. If he recognizes it, he says it's mine, so then I have to return it to him. Now, the Medvar more, and what does this apply? The Talmud Vasak, Shana Mishana, Bidigura Klal, This applies to a very specific type of Talmid Chacham who's a little older, doesn't tell lies except if he has to promote some type of peace, or let's say, what do you call it, whatever Masechta he's studying, or what do you call it, or the bed he sleeps on, what do you call it, and any guest, when he's a guest. Okay, so what does this mean? Let's say he's involved in studying Masechta. But he says, I'm actually studying, what do you call it, the section of Mikvahs. And he says that so that people won't ask him questions about Nida. Oh, she yashan mitazu. He's sleeping in a bed. And he says he slept in a different bed because maybe they'll see a sign of a seminal mission in the bed. He's a guest by Shimon, right? But he says, no, I'm really by Reuben. So the people he's staying by won't bother Reuben. Let's say he makes peace between two people. Let's say he added or took away from certain statements to make them love each other. That's all permitted. But if witnesses come and testify, the chutzim dvar melo that he, what do you call it, he makes statements that are not true in other areas. We do not let him return the item based on just recognizing him. And that ends Parak Yudal, and we'll continue Parak Tesvav next time.